This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Friday, brought to you on the fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. The Dirty Poll rolls on. Number 16 in our preseason. Season college football poll, the USC Trojans. Joining us now is our friend Ryan Abraham at Inside Troy on Twitter. Go give him a follow. He's the owner and publisher of USCfootball.com. Ryan, good morning to you, man. I want to start. We were just talking about this NIL collective, the 501c3. These people want to give a base salary to the players. The school's like, please, God, don't do this. We don't want the NCAA barking up our tree. What do you make of it, and what's going on down there between the boosters and the university?
Yeah, it's a little weird. They already have a collective plus, they call it, the Boulevard one, which is more like in line with the university. You know, it's separate. You know, it's a separate LLC. But it's something that they announced in June to provide like representation, help with taxes, and also, give NIL opportunities for alumni a chance to, and fans a chance to donate, and then they would distribute it to the not just football, but all the student athletes. The new collective that came out that we heard about this week, and I had them on my podcast, it's more focused on football, and it's also something that they're trying to, give basically like a salary to the players that want to opt in. But it's not going yet. It won't be running up and running until next year. But both of those are not really addressing what some of the fans want to see, where a program like Texas A&M is offering money for prospects to come to the school. And neither one of those collectives are doing that. So I feel like they're kind of on the same page. They're just doing it a little bit different way. They'll eventually kind of get together because the Student Body Right Collective, it's a cool name, by the way, I thought. But they're like I said, they're not going to be going until next week. But for right now, it sort of was like maybe a blow to the ego of the athletic department because they – kind of are backing this other collective and a new one pops up because they didn't feel like they're doing enough. But neither one of them are offering high school prospect. It's all about the current student athlete. So it's an interesting thing. It's USC. You got to have some weird stuff going on. And that's definitely a weird one.
It's been a hell of an offseason down there. I mean, they steal Lincoln Riley right after the Oklahoma State game. That shocks the entire world. We all get excited because maybe USC will be good again. And when USC is good, the conference tends to get a lot of respect. And then they ripped our heart out Indiana Jones style. And they said, you think the Pac-12, we're going to the Big Ten. And now everybody up here, including myself, I kind of hate your school for what they did. Not that it's your school per se, but I feel betrayed a little bit here, Ryan. And now you got this collective. It's been a hell of an offseason. It's been interesting. And I don't even know really how to feel about the team because a lot of people are gambling that they can win the championship or even get to the playoff. What's it been like these last, let's say, 2 months with everything that's gone on at USC?
I mean, it started, in November with the Lincoln Riley thing. We just came way out of the blue. And even in September when they fired Helton the way they did and no one learned about it, it's been a crazy year. But obviously the decision to go to the Big Ten was a big one. And, you talk to John Wilder or anyone, if any athletic director in the conference would have left, and the money that's being thrown around right now, when you see that they're going to have, you know, the Big Ten is going to make more than $1 billion a year, it's like, how do you say no to something like that, even with the geography? But, I mean, the good thing is, in a couple of weeks, we get to focus on what's happening on the field. And I feel like USC is going to be up there. You know, from a 4-8 team, I think they can make a pretty big turnaround. Like, I think Washington from last year can make a good turnaround with the head coach they hired. You know, Oregon doesn't need to make a turnaround. They were already good, and they're, you know, they're bringing in a new staff. But Utah still, to me, is the class of the conference. And, you know, I was at the Pac-12 championship game. I saw what the Utes were able to do to some good teams in the conference. And I don't see any reason why there's going to be much of a drop-off there. USC does, I think they've raised their floor, bringing in the kind of players that they've had, you know, like a Caleb Williams or a Jordan Addison. And the ceiling is what's interesting to me. Like, how good could the defense be? Can they really be, you know, competing in the conference, or is it going to take a year to kind of overtake Utah, which, you know, seems reasonable. You know, if they can go from 4-8 to like 8-4, 9-3, that's a pretty big jump. But there's some people say, like you said, like, oh, they're going to make the playoff. Like, I just don't see that happening. But if they do, that's a pretty big turnaround, you know, to go from a team that was just, you know, getting pushed around by Stanford and all that stuff, and now you're going to go forward and try to, you know, fight for the playoff. But what I will say is they've changed everything. The culture around the team is a lot different. The, you know, nutrition, everything they've done is different, and they've just made better decisions. When you've had like years and years of bad leadership, it takes a while, I think, to root all of that stuff out of there. So it looks like on the surface they're doing that, but this is the off season. Like you said, you got to do it on Saturday. So I feel they're going to be a lot better than they were last year. I just don't know if they're going to be like a conference champion kind of team this year.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint exactly, but you know the talent has obviously been upgraded. The coaching staff's been upgraded, and I would argue the schedule sets up perfectly for them, man. I mean, you get Notre Dame, obviously, in the last week of the season, but you mentioned Washington, who's probably going to be a little bit better this year, Oregon, who still has a lot of talent on their roster. You don't have to play either of them. And there's a good chance when you look at how things line up, now college football can get crazy, there's a chance that USC sitting there going to Utah on October 15th at 6-0. I mean, Rice, Stanford, Fresno State, Oregon State, Arizona State, Washington State are their first six games. So it's a great way to start the year. If things do go sideways, what is the issue? Is it up front on either side of the ball? Like, I feel like I've seen some people say, well, USC's fixed their offensive and defensive line, but we just saw them get pushed around so much last year, it's hard for me to envision that.
Yeah, that Oregon State game in Corvallis is going to be tough. I mean, the Beavs didn't lose at all there last year. So, I mean, that's never an easy trip. But I feel like for USC, it's probably on the defensive side of the ball, the front seven, even any part of the defense. I mean, they're replacing a lot of starters from last year. They're a lot deeper than what we saw in the spring. But the guys they brought in on defense from the transfer portal aren't the superstar status like a lot of the guys that they brought in on the offensive side of the ball. But I think a guy like Shane Lee from Alabama has instantly become one of the leaders on this team, which probably tells you something about what it was last year. And I feel like a mix of the transfers they brought in and then the guys that weren't playing last year that are kind of coming into their own, they should be pretty good. But if they struggle, I think it's going to be on the defensive side of the ball. I'm having a hard time picturing them not scoring points. I mean, the offense right. just should be dynamic. They'll be as deep as that you could be at wide receiver, and you know Caleb Williams is a you know absolute talent, but I think if they struggle, it'll be on that defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, USC is interesting, Ryan, just in the sense of can they take that step? I'm kind of one of those. I'm in the camp that yes, they will. How they do it, I don't know. Maybe everything you just pointed out is maybe the line play won't be quite as good, and that's the thing that holds them back. But like you talk about changing culture. I mean, just from a beat reporter standpoint, what you've noticed in talking to a Lincoln Riley versus maybe talking to a Clay Helton or the changes the players have noticed from one year to the next.
It's, you know, whenever you get like a new strength coach or a new, like, there's always like this optimism, like, oh, everything was bad before and we're great now. And, you know, some of it's just, and we've heard that from Clay Helton teams when they've changed assistant coaches and strength coaches all the time. But it's sort of like the, you know, maybe the off the record conversations or just like when you're kind of chatting after an interview and the things that people say, the little keys that you kind of pick up on, and everyone has the same message, you know, the accountability word comes up all the time. And I kind of, the analogy would be like if you have a kid that kind of, there's not a lot of parental control, they can do whatever they want. And after a while, they kind of get tired of eating cookies for dinner, right? And they just want someone to tell them what to do. And the players that are left, they lost like 54 guys off the roster last year. The players who were left seemed like they were craving that discipline. They were craving that, hey, coach me up. Tell me what to do. If I do something wrong, make me do up downs, whatever it is. And they want to be there. And the fact that they were able to get the guys that were left over, I guess you could call them, and, you know, with the new transfers that have come in, they've worked together really well. And you talk to the new players and they said, yeah, like we talked to the players that were here already. And they can't believe how night and day it is. So I think that's the biggest part. You know, when you take over a culture like Lincoln Riley took over at Oklahoma that was good, you kind of like enhance it, you know. But when you take over a really bad culture, there's a lot of changes you have to make. And that's, I think, the challenge for me. You know, the roster looks like it's there. The staff looks like it's there. But are these old problems from last year going to bubble to the surface again just because it's really hard to kind of get them out? So that's kind of what the big challenge is. But, you know, from what we've seen, guys, it's just like the culture is just completely different. And that needed to change. It just wasn't a good culture under Clay Hill.
Yeah, it's hard. It's always hard to kind of pinpoint how long that'll take to root up and change fully. Number 16, is that fair, you think, for USC in the preseason poll? And then what's the final win-loss record in your mind this year?
I think it's fair. I mean, I think you got to put Utah as the highest and then like Oregon second and then USC third. But I think UCLA's got a chance to be up there. And I think Washington, if they can make, you know, big turnaround, they have a chance to, you know, also be like top 25 teams. But I think a fair record, I look at 9-3. It makes a lot of sense to me. You know, you got a road game at Utah, you got a road game at Oregon State, you know, between UCLA and Notre Dame, if you split those. I mean, I think 9-3 seems pretty reasonable if you're kind of winning the games that you should. But, you know, there's opportunities for this to go south or things just don't quite work out right if the offense isn't clicking or you get a couple injuries on the offensive line. Maybe there's some problems there. But it just seems like everything's so buttoned up now. Like, they're going to go out and score a bunch of points. So that's going to win you games, I think, in this league. So I think 9-3 is a fair, fair kind of assessment, which, you know, a 5-game improvement over last year, even though they were in turmoil and you fire the coach after two games, I still think that would be a marked improvement.
Ryan, before we get you out of here, I got to ask you, their number one player they landed for next year and Malachi Nelson, he seemed pretty committed. And then the last couple of weeks, I feel like I've seen this Texas A&M stuff pop up and he took a visit and he seemed to really like it. Where do you think that stands right now? Are they going to lose this kid to the Texas A&M collective or will this SBR thing come in and save the day for USC with Malachi Nelson?
Yeah, I don't think it's an SBR thing or even a Boulevard thing to save Malachi Nelson. I think when you have a guy like that, the one advantage, you know, there's not that pile of money sitting there for you as a prospect as there can be at A&M when they signed the number one class that ever happened last year. But the being the Los Angeles thing, there are going to be NIL opportunities for a guy like Malachi Nelson with like bigger corporations and the entertainment industry and stuff like that. I think that's what saves him. That he already has representation, he already has deals in place, and that's going to be a benefit. But I think it's definitely going to be a problem, and I don't know how many West Coast schools are doing the kind of things that, you know, the Tennessees of the world or we're seeing like Louisville do stuff like this, Texas A&M. You know, I think most of the West Coast schools are trying to stay away from the whole inducement thing. That I don't think that other places in the country they're looking at that rule the same way. So I'm curious. I think they end up getting Malachi Nelson just because he's this five-star quarterback, will have his own opportunities. But if it's a four-star receiver somewhere, they're not going to have that same kind of star power, the kind of Caleb Williams deals, you know, that you could get in Los Angeles. So I think he sticks around, but it's going to be a problem going forward. And I'm not seeing anything at USC collective-wise that's going to try to combat what like a Texas A&M is doing right now. And I'm not sure if it's really happening anywhere on the West Coast. So that's going to be something to watch for. Does someone step in and say, hey, you can't do this inducement stuff? Because that's that's really making it an unlevel playing field, in my opinion.
Well, Jimbo said they weren't paying him, though.
Yeah, come on. There's no money involved here, Ryan. Come on. There's no money involved. Of course. It's all above board.
Every class in the history of the world. You know, they have no money with their ball.
They just recruited their tails off. Well, it's been an interesting offseason for USC. They open with Rice on September 3rd. Ryan thinks 16, pretty fair, and maybe 9-3 is kind of your expected win-loss record. Ryan Abraham, at Inside Troy on Twitter. Go give him a follow, owner and publisher of USCFootball.com. We always appreciate the time, man, and can't wait to get football started. I'm sure we'll catch up again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.